So the name of my talk is The Heart of Compassion. And I'm going to be talking about this figure then we have we can see here. It's the first time I just see the shrine, so Su Jen and Maitra Bandhu. I don't know where Su Jen is, but thank you. It just looked beautiful. Thank you. So I was talking the other day to somebody in my group about when you come on retreat, you always say, oh, how long have you been meditating? Or have you meditating for 3 months? And we always try to make it a little bit bigger than what it is. So if you've been meditating for 9 months, you say, a year. So we always kind of stretch a little bit. So yesterday when Subhadra Mati was being introduced and she's been ordained 15 years, I thought, oh my God, you know, I'm next tomorrow. So I figured out I'm almost ordained 200 days. So next year, 2011, we're going to be at the LBC dedicating the year to the figure of Green Tara. So it almost feels like I'm just introducing the theme for you of those who go to the LBC. So you know, I'm just going to explore a little bit, you know, the beauty of Green Tara. So I'd just like to start the talk by telling you a little story. A couple months ago, I was on a retreat, and I was introducing the speakers, and we have 4 speakers. So I thought, I could start the talk, I could start introducing them by encouraging the audience to give talks, because I think it's such a good way of learning about a subject. I think if you really look into a subject, it's the best thing that you're going to do. So there I was, really, oh, this is really good way of introducing them. And then that morning I was having a cup of tea with Jayaka, and he said, oh, will you give a talk on Green Tara at the winter retreat? I was like, and all through my mind it was like, no, I can't, no, I don't, no. So it was just, I was exactly doing what I don't want the others to do. So I was very pleased he asked me. But apart from my nervousness, I had a sense that the subject was a little bit too big for me, because I just got the practice 6 months ago. And as well, I just felt I wanted to make justice to the figure. So, and I wasn't sure if I was going to be capable of. So what I'd like to do tonight is to explore some questions with you, then have a reason in my mind since I've been thinking about Tara. So firstly, I will be taking you to the mythic realm where Green Tara was born. Then I will be looking at the actual physical figure itself. Also some aspects in general about Green Tara and about the color green. And I will be finishing the talk by telling you my connections with the figure. But before we go into that, I was thinking, what do we need today, these figures? I mean, these figures are Tibetan and they're old. So why do we need them today? Why are relevant to us? So what I was thinking, and maybe this is not relevant to all of you, but it seems to me that we live in a very fast, materialistic, functional iPod, iPad, iPhone-driven world where we're very concerned about ourselves and getting things done really quickly. And so my concern most of the time is how can I get from A to B very quick, and mostly it's on my bike. And the other day I was at work and I was really anxious and I wanted to leave work before rush hour, when I realized actually I didn't have anything to do at home, but I really wanted to leave quickly. And I think that is the mood that we can get a little bit, just creating suffering unnecessarily for all of us. So why are these figures important for us? So what I think is these figures, these Buddhist figures, they can create a bridge between our everyday world and our imagination, bringing a magical and a mysterious element to it. I remember when I was a child, I used to read lots of comics and lots of adventure books, and some of them had knights and heroes. And at the time, I think they brought some values to me, which probably those figures represent to me nowadays. I very much enjoyed the adventures of the comics, and but also the set of values and the code of ethics that they had, and they transported me to a different imaginary world that it was so thrilling to me. So let's step outside our time into the pristine, boundless blue sky, so where there is a huge white cloud made of light. In the middle of that great light is a pair of blue eyes gazing downwards. They are the most beautiful eyes the world has ever seen. As we look into those sapphire eyes, we see scenes reflected in them. We see the endless rounds of suffering and pain, hope followed by despair, love turning to hate, gain to loss, pleasure to pain. We see the cruelty and violence of war. We see men deceiving men, cheating, lying, stealing. Women painfully giving birth to new generations of hope, and after a little space, helpless as the day they were born on their deathbeds. We see those gripped by fear and anxiety, the selfish and greedy, those who wander directionless, bewildered, lonely. We see those suffering a loved one's death, all being circling endlessly. The reflections go on forever. The wheel spins round, round, all beings seeking happiness, and in their confusion, bringing suffering upon themselves and others. Tears form like dew in those exquisite eyes. Falling to the earth, they form a pool. They pour down endlessly in response to the sufferings mirrored in those blue eyes, forming a great lake of tears. Slowly, the waters in the midst of the lake are stirred by something arising from their depths. A blue lotus flower of extraordinary delicacy rises. Slowly, jade-green light appears, vivid and without any solidity. We are watching the birth of a princess, a goddess, a bodhisattva. She is jade-green in color, clad in a rainbow skirt. She is decked in precious jewels. She is seated, her left foot resting on her right thigh in meditation posture. Her right foot steps down gracefully. Her right arm reaches down, the back of her hand resting on her knee. Her palm is open in a mudra of supreme giving. Her left hand is held in front of her heart, palm outwards, the thumb and ring finger together, so that the other three fingers pointing upwards. This mudra bestows protection and fearlessness through invoking the three jewels. She is 16 years old, full-breasted, with flowing black hair. She is beautiful. Her jade eyelids open for the first time to reveal two perfect blue eyes, identical from those from she was born. She looked out over the world and the lake of tears, and her face breaks into a smile of such beauty and tenderness that the whole world trembles with joy. So this is the setting where Green Tara was born. I personally very much like this rendition of Tara's birth. I find the imagery very powerful and inspiring. She is born out of Avalokiteshvara's tears of compassion as a response to the suffering of all life in the world. I would like to believe that that's my response to the sufferings of the world, but most of my actions are very egocentric and sadly very narrow. So I don't seem to meet yet the same responses. So I would like you to pay attention to Tara's hands. We are told that her left hand is in front of her heart, giving us protection and fearlessness. So I was thinking, from what is he protecting us? Green Tara is usually associated with protection from fear and the eight of curations of the mind, which are pride, ignorance, hatred, jealousy, wrong views, avarice, desires and doubt, which seems like a discussion of myself. But the way I read this fearlessness that she's giving us is that she's protecting us from what we want, from our habitual behavior, from our lower selves, and she's giving us encouragement to take life seriously and to support us to look deeper into those unhealthy and useless patterns. So I was thinking about fear, which has been a very good compassion most of my life. Last year I was on a solitary retreat in the Spanish mountains, and for the first couple of days I was experiencing lots of anxiety and fear. So I went for a walk. It was very, the clouds are so low, then you are in the clouds. So I was really anxious, so I went for a walk, and I thought I was going to get lost. That's my fear when I go for a walk, and I don't know where I am. I'm going to get lost. So I was so fearful, and I really wanted to get to the bottom. It was just like, okay, what is going to happen, you know? So I was so anxious, and I thought, okay, well, I'm going to go back because I don't want to get lost. So I finally start walking down, thinking, if I go back, I'll be better, which, of course, I was not going to be. And all of a sudden, I just saw a little path going upwards to another mountain. So I walk upwards, and I was above the clouds, and it was beautiful. It was just sunny. It was radiant. And I just thought, okay, this is what I need to do. I might need to retract a few steps, and then maybe I find my way up again. And what it made me realize is that most of the fear that I experience is doubt-based. I just doubt myself. I just think, I'm not going to make it. I'm not capable. I travel a lot for work, and I suffer from fear of flying. So what I realized, I just doubt then the plane is not going to make it, or the pilot is going to be hangover, or the stewardess are going to do something wrong, the door is going to open. So I just completely have doubt. I just doubt then anybody's going to do a good job, and I just create lots of suffering for myself. So so that's a little bit of an impression of my fear. Just recently, I don't know if you read on the papers, but in the USA, there is a woman who has a damage on her brain, and she doesn't experience fear. And I thought, bliss. But I keep reading on, and apparently she is really dangerous for herself, because she put herself in very dangerous situations, and she almost died a few times. So I was reflecting on that, and I thought, maybe being fearless is more to do with having the courage to embrace life in his fullness than having the emotional lacking emotional capacity of experiencing fear at all, which I think that's what Tara is giving us this fearlessness to embrace life more fully. So Tara's right hand is reaching down in the mudra of supreme giving. She's stepping down, reaching her hand to lift us up. I have a look at the dictionary to see what supreme means. And it says, supreme is the highest quality or greatest, utmost or final and lasting. So Tara is always ready to give, not in any ordinary way, by the highest one could always wish for. Which for me, it means as well, she's accepting me with all my faults. The way I read it. So when I was thinking what I possibly could tell you about Green Tara on this talk, one of my friends said, why don't you ask her? And there I am, a very rational type of person, sitting in my room, looking at a similar Rupert to this, thinking, give me the talk. And of course, a talk just doesn't land in my lap, as I would have liked it. So I have to open myself to another dimension. I have to be receptive. I have to try to let go of wanting to give you a good talk. And I also have to look into what my mind is dwelling. So I have to take a look at what my mind was dwelling at the time. And as the Buddha said, we are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world. And certainly at the time of I was writing this talk, I was much more interested to see who was going to win the X Factor and all the gossips around that than giving the talk. So I have to face actually what is my interest here. So I have to turn my back into Rebecca Ferguson and Matt Cardiff and look into Tara more openly. So back to Tara. She's a meditation figure whose practice is used by practitioners to develop certain inner qualities about compassion and emptiness. Within Tibetan Buddhism, she is known as Faithful Tara and has 21 major forms. All of them are tied with some color and some different qualities. So different Taras represent different aspects of the same quality. So the most popular forms of Taras are Green Tara, which we can see here tonight. There is also White Tara, known for long life and healing. Red Tara is associated with magnetizing all good things. Black Tara is associated with power. Yellow Tara is associated with wealth and prosperity. And Blue Tara is associated with transmutation of anger, which I like very much that. So traditionally, it has been said that encountering Tara, we're perhaps experiencing enlightenment in his most accessible form. Tara is very approachable. She is known as the Mother of Liberation. She is also known as the Savioress, because she hears the cries of being experiencing misery in this existence. Because this enlightenment presenting itself to us in such a familiar way, sometimes I think we can just think, oh, it is just so easy. Maybe enlightenment is just quite easy. But her beauty is just a great way to do a deeper experience, which it has no color, it has no gender. So she is a mystery. And so there's nothing blind and sentimental about true compassion, the compassion then Tara is trying to point our finger to us. Because her compassion is informed by awareness and knowledge, and it's not foolish or a romantic response. So I have mentioned a few times compassion, so I had another look at the dictionary. And the English noun of compassion said, compassion means to suffer together with. Compassion is a virtue, one in which the emotional capacities of empathy and sympathy for the suffering of others are regarded as part of love itself. This feeling commonly gives rise to an active desire to alleviate another's suffering. So, in words of the Buddha, compassion is that which makes the heart of the good move at the pains of others. It crushes and destroys the pains of others. It is called compassion because it shelters and embraces the distress. So, as we have seen, Tara is the emancipation of compassion. She is a response to the suffering. And because she's seated on meditation posture, her responses are not just a romantic act, unaware of the consequences, like I might sometimes think, oh, I'm just going to do that because I'm going to get something out of that. But her actions come out of wisdom and reflection. And Tara is well, she's just not looking from the distance and looking at suffering thinking, oh, that looked painful, all right, well, I'll finish my cup of tea first and then maybe I'll do something about it. So she's always ready to act, she's always ready and acting. So as Jayak has said, when we get ordained into the Triratna Buddhist order, we are given a figure to meditate and to reflect upon. And I was given the figure of Green Tara. And it was a little bit of a dilemma to me, because I was very attracted to another figure before, which is called Vajrasattva. And so at the time of the ordination, I spent 2 weeks with my prior preceptor, and we had lots of talking, and he thought I should take Green Tara, and I just felt fine. I just felt I was betraying Vajrasattva, so I really had to put myself together. Until he said, "You want me to make a decision for you?" And I said, "No, because I will resent you. I'd rather just take the decision myself." So, and then one morning I just woke up and I say, "I can never have enough compassion. You know, how can I just have enough compassion? So, if anything is going to help me, bring it along, please." So, so that's why I got Green Tara as a figure. And so those figures then we get when we ordain, they're called Jidam. In Tantric Buddhism, and I find this very interesting, the Jidams are in fact the emancipation, the emanations of the adept's own mind. To some extent, they seem to belong to what we call archetypes, and therefore a common quality of the entire human race. And there are divisions of opinions of how far the Jidams are the creations of the individual's minds or not. But what is quite certain and then is that those figures are not existing gods, just somewhere up in the air, as Subhadramatic was saying last night. And for me, because I'm a very practical person, in order to be in real contact with those qualities that those figures symbolize, like wisdom and compassion, I need to remind myself that they are not just any abstract, intangible qualities, but it's something very common in all of us and accessible. So I can have access to it if I put my mind more in tune with it. So I'm just going to also, I'm not going to elaborate on this, but I just want to mention that sometimes I think it's very important to be receptive to be helped. Sometimes I think, especially when we come to the Metta Bhavana, we can think good about other people. And I think sometimes it can be difficult to wish oneself well. And I think this includes as well being helped. So I notice sometimes how people get quite embarrassed or discomfort if somebody just generous with them. And even sometimes say, give you a compliment, it just people start saying, "Oh no, but da-da-da." It's like, no, just say thank you. It's just fine. I'm just giving you a compliment. I'm just trying to be nice. So I think, sometimes we find it difficult, much difficult, to receive than just to give. And I think it's partly... it's just being kind to the other person. The other person has shown you a gesture of kindness, so just allow them to be that as well. So why is Green Tara green? I have no idea. But I have made a little research on the color green and in his meaning, and maybe perhaps we can find some links there. So the word green is closely related to the Old English word grown, which means to grow. In some cultures, green symbolizes hope, rebirth, renewal, and growth. In particular, in Chinese culture, if one wishes to express one's love for someone, one gives them something of gemstone jade or an object that is colored jade. It's been also I find this quite interesting, that green can improve one's reading ability. Some students have found that laying a transparent green sheet over a piece of paper increased reading speed and comprehension. Green has long been a symbol of fertility, and once it was the preferred color for wedding gowns in the 15th century in England. The color green is often used in decorating for its calming effects, and is thought that to relieve stress and help healing. A research has been made, and apparently those who work in a green environment experience fewer stomach aches. Green is the color of the heart chakra, which is located at the center of the chest area and is linked to the heart, the lungs, and the circulatory system. The heart chakra, bridges the gap between the physical and the spiritual worlds. Opening the heart chakra allows a person to love more, to empathize and feel compassion. And I think perhaps, maybe, that's why Tara's left hand is close to her heart, to link these worlds, the physical and the spiritual world. So, color green for me, when people ask me why do I live in England and I have left sunny Spain, I get that a lot. And don't get me wrong, I very much like Spain. But I love nature in this country. I do lots of country walks, and I just love the lusciousness and the beauty of the green in the UK. There is so many bushes, trees, forests, and there's something quite special when the light goes through the trees and different colors, shades of different green. I just found it beautiful. And I love trees, and you just look at trees and they just tell you a story. They're just mysterious, and sometimes I wish they could tell you something. And I'm thinking, my God, these trees must have been here 400 years. Must have seen so many things. And sometimes you see some trees and they've been hit by something, but they're still growing even sideways. I just find it fascinating. So I really love nature in this country. I remember a friend of mine when we flew to Madrid, to my hometown, and we were leaving the airport, and he said, "Where are the trees?" Because Spain can be quite barren. So, Green Tara was the first mantra I ever learned. I was on a yoga retreat. I had no interest whatsoever in Buddhism. I just went there for the yoga. And at the end of the retreat, somebody just teaches the Tara mantra. And it was lovely. I really enjoyed it. I don't know why, but I really enjoyed it. And I remember I was living with two other yogis on the car, and we start chanting the mantra. And none of us were Buddhists, but we really liked the mantra. We start chanting. So I think that was my first connection with Tara. My second connection with Tara that I'm aware of, it happened on a dream. In order to be ordained in the Triratna Buddhist order, you ask a senior order member, who you usually look up to be your private preceptor, and he will be the person who gives you your name, your new name. So I was on a retreat when I asked Sadalorka, the person who is my private preceptor, if he will be my preceptor, and he said yes. So that night, he appears on my dream carrying a huge topiary. I hope everybody knows what a topiary is. It's kind of one of these bushes who kind of create shapes in formal gardens. And he had this massive topiary, and it was my name. I couldn't read it, but I knew it was my name. And he was green, and everything was green. And when I woke up, I just have the impression that Tara was in my dream. So what is it that Tara is trying to invoke in us? Or any of these figures that we're going to be hearing about it? Well, certainly, for me, they're trying to point out what is meaningful in our life. They're trying to remind us that life has a purpose beyond our ordinary experience, and that going deeper into the unknown can bring new dimensions of beauty and joy. As I mentioned before, you know, I've just been ordained for almost 200 days. And on the night that I got ordained, I went back to my tent, and I just wrote down, "Today I know more than ever that there is meaning of being born. I don't know what the future holds for me and what challenges will cross the path I'm taking, but I have faith that this is the right step forward in my life. And I have never had the sense of meaning in my life in such an extended way. So how is Tara present in my life today? It's very mysterious. I still don't know how is he present into my life. I'm a fairly compassionate person, do things for my friends, you know, I support some charities, look out for others. I do what most of us do in everyday life. However, do I take every chance to act kindly and compassionately, or do I just look at the compassion with I just look at the suffering of others in my PC screen and just go into BBC Player and look a movie or something? So one of the things that I have noticed is that there is a certain sense of egocentricity involved in all my actions, which I think is pretty human after all. And as I say, I'm involved with the world around me, but I have realized that I wanted to be seen doing things. I wanted other people to take notice of me. Whether I was using a complicated situation to put myself in a brighter light, some people will think, oh wow, he's cool. And sometimes I have really used difficult situations to say, oh no, I'll do that. But it was more to do, I want the others to think, oh, he's good, he's resolving stuff. And so I think what I was trying to, I wanted to be somebody. I want others to think of me as somebody. And what I have noticed lately, I still have similar impulses than before I got ordained. But it seems to me that there is a less sense of I or me involved in these actions. And I have a less desire to be noticed, as it were. So I feel I'm maybe more, slightly more in tune what is need in certain situations. And this might sound strange to you, and I don't want to be too sentimentalist about it, but it feels sometimes as if this response to act kindly have nothing to do with myself anymore, but it's Tara acting through myself. As if something is working through me, which is feels very much linked to my ethical life. And I have to look closely at my ethical behavior in order to be clear and respond to these actions appropriately. So I hope you have find these words useful and have helped you to get to know Tara a little bit better. And I hope that it has helped you to connect with your values and what is important in your lives, because you are the ones who are going to act compassionately to others, hopefully. But I would like to finish by telling you that I feel also connected with Tara through my name. The first part of my name, Daya, it stands for compassion, tenderness. It means to suffer in the suffering of others, to sympathize with, to have pity on. I was very moved when Sadalorka gave me the name, partly because of his meaning, and partly because Sadalorka seems to have seen a potential in me that maybe wasn't in the surface. However, I'm not always in touch with it, and I forget the purpose of life and the person I aspire to be. Nevertheless, when I think seriously about it, how could I not want to fulfill the potential in this lifetime? How could I not look at Tara and ask for help to connect with my highest aspirations? How could I not take this opportunity to be he who is the splendor, light, beauty of sympathy, kindness, tenderness, and compassion? Thank you.